Section 13, Bodhisattva ordination. The Bodhisattva ideal has attracted me from quite an early period of my Buddhist life. Indeed, it had attracted me from the time when, shortly after reading the Diamond Sutra and the Sutra of Wei Lang, I came across a copy of the two Buddhist books in Mahayana. The second of these books, which had been translated and compiled by Upasika Chi Meng, Miss P.C. Lee of China, Bodhisattva in Precepts, was the vows of the Bodhisattva Samantabhadra, which formed part of the Avatamsaka, or Flower Ornament Sutra. This work I read repeatedly, and its picture of the infinitely wise and boundlessly compassionate Bodhisattva must have made a deep impression on me. For the words, thought succeeding thought, without interruption, and in bodily, oral, and mental deeds, without weariness, kept going through my mind for days together. It was as though they embodied Samantabhadra's or any other Bodhisattva's constant, unflagging fulfillment of his great vows through infinite time and infinite space. Seven or eight years later, shortly after my arrival in Kalimpong, I came across Shantideva's Shiksa Samuchaya, or Compendium of Instruction for Novice Bodhisattvas, and as a result, was more strongly attracted to the Bodhisattva ideal than ever, so strongly, in fact, that attraction is far too weak a word for what I then felt. The truth was that I was thrilled, exhilarated, uplifted, and inspired by the Bodhisattva ideal, and my feeling for it found expression in some of the poems and articles I wrote during this period, as well as Chapter 4 of A Survey of Buddhism. There were two reasons for my being so strongly affected. In the first place, there was the sheer unrivaled sublimity of the Bodhisattva ideal, the ideal of dedicating oneself for innumerable lifetimes to the attainment of supreme enlightenment for the benefit of all beings. In the second, there was the fact that, as enjoined by my teacher Kashyapji, I was working for the good of Buddhism, and that I could not do this without strong spiritual support. The more especially since I received very little real help or cooperation from those who were supposedly working with me. This spiritual support I found in the Bodhisattva ideal, which provided me with an example on the grandest possible scale of what I was myself trying to do within my own infinitely smaller sphere and on an infinitely lower level. It was therefore not surprising that on the 12th of October, 1962, 9 days before receiving the Padmasambhava initiation, I should have received the Bodhisattva ordination. By that time, I had been a Buddhist for more than 20 years and a monk for 13, and I had been working for the good of Buddhism for 12 years. For the last 5 years, I had indeed been working for it, not only in Kalimpong and the neighbouring hill towns, as originally enjoined, but among the ex-untouchable Buddhists of central and western India. I therefore felt ready to take the Bodhisattva ordination and in this way give formal expression to my acceptance of the Bodhisattva ideal. Moreover, I had found a preceptor from whom I could take the ordination. This was Dado Rinpoche, the greatly precious one of Dasendo, whom I had known since 1953 and whom I had come to revere as being himself a living Bodhisattva. On the occasion of my Shramanera ordination, U Chandramani had been concerned that I should pronounce the words of the refuge-going formula correctly, but he had said nothing about the meaning of those words or about the significance of the act of going for refuge itself. Similarly, at my Bhikshu ordination, my Burmese preceptor had explained to me only the four reliances of the monk. Dada Rinpoche, however, not only gave me the Bodhisattva ordination, but subsequently explained the 64 Bodhisattva precepts to me in considerable detail, so that I was able to translate them from Tibetan into English. What was no less important, whereas I had had no further contact with my two previous preceptors after receiving ordination at their hands, in the case of Dado Rinpoche, I was able to remain in regular personal contact with him for the rest of my stay in India. But what effect did the taking of the Bodhisattva ordination have on me? At the time, it gave me a sense of definite spiritual progression, for I still thought of the Hinayana, Mahayana, and Vajrayana as representing successive phases or stages of development, and still, therefore, thought of the Bodhisattva ordination as being superior to the Bhikshu ordination, just as the Bhikshu ordination was superior to the Upasaka ordination. In the long run, however, the taking of the Bodhisattva ordination had the effect of making me think of myself not as a monk who happened to accept the Bodhisattva ideal, but rather as a Trijana Buddhist who happened to be a monk. Since the arising of the bodhicitta and becoming a bodhisattva was in fact the altruistic dimension of going for refuge, this in turn had the effect of making me think of myself simply as a monk who went for refuge, or even as a human being who went for refuge, and who happened to live in monastic or semi-monastic fashion. Commitment was primary, lifestyle secondary.